Josh Grady, why don't you guys come on up? Would you guys welcome Josh and Grady this morning?
All right, we want to share a little testimony with you. This was a fun weekend. If you were part of the 40-hour prayer, thank you for your yes. Prayer matters to the Lord. I just had this phrase that kept echoing through my mind is when we pray that his ear is close and his presence is right there. It couldn't be any closer. So when we pray, he takes those things seriously. It's a joy of his. So with that, I just wanted to share a little bit of testimony. Grady, we sort of had the fun opportunity to host really a friend of Grady's and a mentor of Grady's. And so I'll let you just talk about that. But we did some stuff with art. We had some really, really, so whoever came out and did art, we were just stirring up our creativity and beginning to really trust the Lord to activate that and unlock creativity in us because it's written inside our DNA. And if you don't paint or if you don't do some crayon stuff every now and then, like, you should because there's something in there that needs to be awakened. So with that, Grady, you want to talk a little bit about Jordan?
Yeah. So Jordan, can you raise your hand? Jordan is a friend of mine from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. Yeah, let's give her a round of applause. So she came out to just visit and be a friend and everything, but also partner with along with The Burn. And she also led us in a time of creative worship just yesterday. And I'm going to have to keep myself... I have two major takeaways from this weekend. The first of them is we were setting up, and this all ties in, so we were setting up the prayer room over there, and we were just goofing. We were goofing off and joking and being fun. And Josh, stepped away from setting up, and I just got this, I got this accusation thrown at me. I was like, oh, that's really cute. Like, this whole idea of doing a little prayer burn is really cute. And I was like, yo, Josh, I just got accusation. Like, we're setting this thing up, and it got in the way, and, I just rebuked it and put it away. Because I was like, I refuse to believe that this, what we call, a small meeting is unimportant and doesn't matter and doesn't impact our city and please the Lord. And the whole story of this weekend has been, it's just a testimony to that of people... you wouldn't assume them to come into a prayer meeting. They come into a prayer meeting, and they were encountering the Lord. But there was just this re-solidification that, when we get together to pray, and even if all the 40 hours aren't covered, and even if there's not worship for each set, the Lord is so overjoyed. We kept getting that, that he's just jumping for joy over our meeting, our little meeting. And it just reminds me of where we've been at, even just with last week and Mike's message about the church in Philadelphia. And how he mentioned this, it was probably the smallest church of those mentioned in the book of Revelation. And yet, they were at the forefront of Asia Minor. But I'm just thinking about us and the church in this city. And it's like we had this meeting that's, 40 hours and we covered it. And we do them every once in a while. But the Lord is so pleased. And he is happy that we are partnering with his heart to see his purpose as it's poured out in this city and in this region. All that to say, it's not small and it's not cute. And I'm not trying to be it's important to him. And Jordan had mentioned it's he's found a place to rest and to come in. And he's like, here are my people. So thank you to all those who came and we're developing this culture where we honor prayer. But the second thing that I want to mention, it has to do with the creative arts thing. Because I believe that this whole weekend and kind of where we've been going the last couple months is just it was mentioned out of the book of Joshua where the story of lay up all those stones as a monument. And Josh has given me, we've talked about that kind of stuff, and it was just brought back up, and I'm like, this, that is what these things are like they're, the whole thing was mentioned in look at the Lord has done in your past, and when you come into something in the future that is really, really rough and you need him to come through, just remember where he came through in the past. And I just think about not only that, but just the positive things. We're going from glory to glory, from glory to glory. And it makes all this mundane in-between stuff a lot more real and a lot more important to me. So I'm just thinking, like, we've done this prayer burn, and we did this creative worship where we got to be creative. Like, I don't paint ever. And I'm like, okay, I'll try the paints. And the diversity of the people that showed up, I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's interesting. But let's remember, like, I just kept, like, that was getting brought up all the time this past weekend. It's just, let's keep remembering and make monuments and look back at what the Lord has done and charge forward into the next, like, big thing or the next, even the next mundane thing where you're like, I have to wake up to go to church, or go to church, or I have to wake to go to work this morning, and I can't do it, Lord, I need you. And then you look back at that monument and you're like, yeah, he got me through that. I think he can get me through this. So just really good. And I'm believing that the Lord is beginning to break into our city, and we get to be a part of it. So, and thank you, Jordan, for coming out.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. We appreciate you being just the fanning into flame. You know, how fun that is to be able to see the Lord doing that. And I think the other fun thing is, and I've got a few people actually sitting here this morning with us. I have some intercessory friends that are here. And if any of you have ever hung out with, if you haven't, you need to hang out with more intercessory prayer folks. They're so encouraging. They see things about you that they just alter your perspective of what God is doing in your life. And it's just a joy on weekends like this when we sort of all come together to be refreshed and reminded again that God is doing deep and supernatural things in some very natural settings, that it's easy to be distracted. Like, what's he actually doing really? You know, actually, this part of my life drives me nuts, and this part of my life drives me nuts. And you talk with them like, oh, I see God on that. Oh, you know, and you're like, you do? You know, like, it's so important for us to get this perspective. And even as Grady is sharing this morning, you know, the thing is that we are characters. We are people in this story. This is who we are. This is the invitation of who we are. This isn't a dusty book that sits on a shelf. This is who we are. God is writing a story on the tapestry, on the paper of our heart. He loves to reveal himself to us. And it's so easy for us to be distracted by the things that are happening in our daily circumstances. And I love that challenge that's been coming from Mike, specifically in the book of Revelation. It says, he who has ear to hear, let him hear. He wants you to hear. He wants you to be able to discern beyond what you're experiencing in this moment. You know, one of my takeaways from this whole weekend. So I just turned 40 years old. You! Awesome. Praise God. So I'm having cool thoughts in my head for new ones that I haven't had before. You know, like the ones like, yeah, I remember when my dad turned 40 and I was like, you're old. And so I'm like, wow, Lord, this is what it feels like to be old. No, I'm just kidding. But what I'm thinking in my mind is like, I'm like, wow, Jesus, I love what you've done with my life. You've so far gone, like, you've gone way beyond what I thought was possible. And now it's this expectation, this monument that is beckoning me to begin to go. And to begin to dream and to begin to trust him again in a fresh new way that he's going to do something powerful for my city, for my family, for my church family here in this place, for what God wants to do with the area of revival and breakthrough and like radical transformation. I have dreams that when people drive in to pass the city limit sign, that they look at that says, you've entered Lewiston, and a thought pops in their head, you have just entered the city that Jesus loves. That no place is safe. That a time spent out walking, you know, in anxiety and depression on the river begins to be this most beautiful encounter with someone who doesn't even know Jesus yet. They just begin to go, God, he's so good. Look how beautiful it is out here. Look at these rivers. This is wild. And all of a sudden, before you know it, they're beginning to come into their right mind about who God is and what he thinks about them. Sometimes I think when we go through the book of Revelation, it's easy for us to be distracted by a plan instead of a person. We're thinking about when, not who. When's he coming? What are we doing? What's the plan? The book isn't about when, it's about who. It's not revelation of when, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Does anybody remember the story about Jesus being transfigured when he up on the with his disciples? Do you remember what Peter's response was? Words just came out of his mouth. He didn't, we're going to build you. You know, it just words. I don't know what to say, but just words, and you're amazing. When Jesus encountered John, John fell over dead. I thought it was awesome to hear Mike describe what this sort of encounter may have been like, is that on the Lord's day, John is having a, let's just put it this way, he's having a quiet time, and all of a sudden, this mighty voice behind him makes this proclamation. And what he doesn't realize in the moment, but then realizes very quickly after that, is that this is Jesus Christ revealing himself. And I would actually propose to you that this is a greater than the transfiguration type moment. And he fell on the ground as if dead. How many of you have read the Bible before? You've read a story and you wished you were there. Raise your hand. You just wished, you're like, yeah, I'd pay money to be there. I'd pay money to see that, for sure. When I read the story about the transfiguration, immediately, like, I would love to be there. I would just love to see that. Someday, I don't know how the whole 3D thing works in heaven, but I'm like, I'm sure we're just starting to tap in to some stuff in heaven that I'm going to be able to actually interact in that place and go hang out there. If I just blew your mind, I apologize. Okay, so, but the whole point is, there's these moments that we want to be part of, that we want to be sucked up into the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the invitation of the Lord is to pull us into that place. When we have the book of Revelation, this is what I'm proposing to you. The book of Revelation is your transfiguration invitation. Jesus said, over my dead body, that those sitting here in this room that can hear my voice would not have a transfiguration encounter. Jesus won't allow it. He won't, you guys. He won't allow you to miss who he is. He wants you to know this is yours. Don't be distracted. You know, I'm going to talk, you know, my job today is to talk to you about spiritual formation. Can I tell you how easy it would be for this to be one of those that just like a rock just sort of skipped over the water and just didn't end up finding its location? Just, it's easy to be distracted because it's this, but we've been reading about it in the book of Revelation. Come on, the seven churches is Jesus' personal words to the church. Encouragements, exhortations, corrections, because he loves you. And he loves me. And the invitation is, he who has ear to hear, let him hear. This is your transfiguration encounter with Jesus. I encourage you, as you get into the word and you begin to spend time, and we're processing this together, it's not to be distracted by when, but to be captivated by who. It's Jesus. It's your Jesus. The one who reached down and said, John, I know I just freaked you out, but it's me. Let me pull you off out of the puddle state that you're in and reanimate you again, because I need you to write some things down for me, because I want to encounter my people. This just really embodies the spirit of what I feel like the Lord is doing. It was a passage that I was so thankful to just dip into, and then we jumped into worship this morning about the Father delighting over us. And I want to read this to you because I'm a big picture kind of guy, and I really like to get like the 10,000 foot perspective, because it's helpful to create like some direction for me today. And actually, I think now that I said that, I've heard you say something very similar to that yesterday. But I want to read this. Proverbs 8:22. It's so good, I'm going to read extra verses I didn't plan on. In the beginning, okay, this is the Passion Translation, by the way. So if it doesn't match that, yeah, the NIV up there, it's okay. Close your eyes and just listen to the narration of Josh Pilon's voice. In the beginning, I was there, for God possessed me, even before he created the universe. From the eternity, sorry, let me try some, I'm so sorry. I didn't even set this up. This is Jesus. This is Jesus describing to you, like if we were able to start before Genesis 1:1, this is Jesus recapturing what it was like for him to be with the Father creating. So this is before Genesis 1:1. Can you even do that in the Bible? Oh, we can. All right, here we go. Now let me start. Okay. In the beginning, I was there, for God possessed me, even before he created the universe. From eternity past, I was set in place. Before the world began, I was anointed from the beginning. Before the ocean's depths were poured out, before there was any glorious fountains overflowing with water, there I was dancing. Even before one mountain had been sculpted or a hill had been raised, I was there dancing. When he created the earth in the fields, even the first atom of dust, I was there. When he hung the tapestry of the heavens and stretched out the horizon of the earth, when the clouds in the sky were set in the place and the subterranean fountains began to flow strong, I was already there. When he set in place the pillars of the earth and spoke the decrees of the seas, commanding the waves so that they wouldn't overstep their boundaries, I was there, close to the Creator's side, as his master artist. As I daily was filled with delight in me, as I played and playfully rejoiced before him, I laughed and played, so happy at what he had made, finding my delight in the children of men. Quit. Just quit. This is what we're talking about. This is the reason why we are on earth. How easy is it to get distracted from that? That's ground zero. That's the invitation of the Lord. He's on our lives. He's telling us, he's working through creativity. He's working through your boldness. He's, you know, there's all these things that God is up to. But this is our purpose. Good. You know, a lot of the things Jesus had to say to the church, the churches that Mike's been talking about, were challenging and encouraging because they lived in a culture, just like we do. We live in a culture, meaning there's things that are moving that are not operating like the kingdom. And so in these particular messages to the church, Jesus is encouraging his children. He's helping to give them sobriety. Sometimes we need sobriety. We need the ability to be able to pull back and to see clearly what Jesus is saying to us. And so Jesus may give corrections, and they may seem harsh, but the intentional nature of those things, those challenging words he has, is to bring people into love and freedom and breakthrough and to establish them on the earth. Never is there any other purpose. Jesus isn't speaking damning words to smash or crush or damage anybody. So if you ever hear that voice, that's not him. Sorry I'm making this so personal right now, but you need to hear this. If his presence crushes you and you don't discern his love, that's not his voice. The body of Christ needs to get that. Because we have a good Father, not a bad one. his words were to people who were enduring like crushing persecution. Some of the cultures of the churches that he was addressing, they were going through a great deal of persecution. They weren't able to transact and to buy and sell goods. They weren't. They basically went from being able to function inside a society to not being able to function inside of a society because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They couldn't bow the knee to the local god or whatever to be able to move freely without inside that economy, and it created poverty and the lack of being able to get food and supplies to live and to survive. And in some of these places, people had sort of moved up the affluence ladder. They didn't want to shake the trees. They didn't want to create problems. They didn't want to step into the poverty that they were seeing other Christians get into. And so Jesus begins to address those things with them inside those cultures, saying, I've not called you to a life of compromise. I've called you to a life of intentionality. Let's go back to Jesus in the presence of the Father dancing. Remember, this is the point of when Jesus comes and he speaks to us, is to remind us who we are and to bring a sobriety to, oh my gosh, this is who the Lord is. This is what he wants to do. This is the, and can I tell you this? Here's the thing. Would you like to spiritually grow? Come on, guys, let's talk about spiritual growth. We do want to talk about spiritual growth because I want to tell you this. Everything is spiritual. Let me say that one more time. Everything is spiritual. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have gotten these intimate words from Jesus to the church. Notice his encouragement wasn't just to activities that were going on inside the church. These were to his people in a city. They weren't just leaders or people that attended church. These were the believers who lived very normal daily lives, who were hanging out with people and doing life with them. And how they conducted their lives mattered. Everything is spiritual. Mike said it this way. I just love this. And, you know, he's quoting Revelation, so I know it's solid. But Jesus walks among the lampstands. What are the lampstands in Revelation? The church. He's in our midst right now. He's walking among us right now. Not just in this building, where you work, where you live, where you play. He's walking among you. It's easy to be distracted that there are points of your life. You're like, oh, of course, when we're hanging out doing church like this, it's spiritual, of course. Okay, cool. What happens when you leave this building and you go eat lunch today? Or you go to dinner? Or you have a tough conversation with family? Or you begin to sort of drop back into life? Is that spiritual? Yes. Why? Because Jesus walks among the lampstands. I want to share an example with you. Raise your hand if you have heard of the movie Karate Kid or watched it. Raise your hand if you've watched Karate Kid. Okay. Everyone, some people are like, I love it. So, yes, I've seen it. Okay, here we go. So, Karate Kid, who remembers Mr. Miyagi and Danielson? Come on. Yeah. Who remembers when, so Danielson is getting picked on at school, right? And he's starting to get beat up, and he had just moved with his mom. And he bumps into Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi ends up finding out that he's being bullied. And so in the process of this, he gets adopted by Mr. Miyagi. And there's this moment where he's learning, like he's going to learn how to do karate. And for like several weeks, painting the fence.
up and down. And he's sanding and he's waxing. And he gets up to here, dude. He's so tired of Mr. Miyagi's stuff. He goes, I thought I was supposed to learn karate. And he goes, Daniel, son, wax on, wax off. He's like, dude, whatever. And he goes, Daniel, son, paint the fence. And he realizes he's been spending the last several weeks doing things for Mr. Miyagi, not realizing that he is actually exercising the very same muscles, the very same things that he'll be doing to learn karate. This, my friends, is our life. He who has ear, let him hear. So, remember, there are things that are going on in your life that seem like, wax on, wax off. Why am I doing this? There's infrastructure. There's blueprints that are in place. In the spirit, there are things that are being done, but it is on the platform of reality. It's on the platform using gravity and light and dimension and all of these things. And what we don't realize is something very deeply spiritual is going on underneath the surface. And Jesus would call you to sobriety, to realize, guys, there's something going on, don't forget. How many of you know that the church, I'm reading this because I'll say it wrong if I don't. How many of you know that the church is in the kingdom, but the kingdom isn't only in the church? Your life matters. Your choices, they matter. As we're talking about the book of Revelation, do you guys, how about this concept of reward? Listen, here's what I'm not saying. We're not reading the book of Revelation to figure out how to stack our blessings in heaven. What I am saying is, let's remember Jesus in the presence of his Father. Our eternity has already started. And we're encountering who he is. And that is our purpose in life. But don't forget, his reward is with him. We don't have to be, you know, dad goes on a business trip and comes home. Do you want to give him a big hug because he comes home, or do you want the gift that he's going to bring you? You want the hug. I missed you. By the way, here's this. So just his reward is with him, but the encounter is, oh my gosh, I'm in your presence. I'm delighting. I'm dancing in who you are. I'm alive. I'm alive like I've never been alive before. So if our purpose is to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus, if that's truly our purpose, that what we read out of Proverbs, where we're in the presence of a creative Father who's doing things, who's moving planets and creating universes and is for us to delight in him, that is what it is to be conformed into the image of Jesus. What does that look like? Well, let's talk about spiritual formation then. Spiritual formation, what is that anyway, really? Spiritual formation is our intentional movement towards Jesus in two ways. First way, personal. A personal movement towards Jesus. What does that look like for you? Maybe it looks like getting in the Word. It looks like prayer. It looks like beginning to, I don't know about you, but I love to put worship music on and just I just take off. I don't know where I go. And I just have fun in his presence. But that needs to be, you know, happening often. But if that is our only experience, then we're missing out on all that God has for us in spiritual formation. Because spiritual formation is actually something that is not just individual and priestly. It is, but it's not just that. It's community and it's familial. It's to be lived out in community. So if we're just doing that by ourselves and you're not hanging out with people intentionally, what's the best way for me to put this? Intentionally being uncomfortable with. We live in the same house. I see this guy every day. And it creates this uncomfortability. Grady was not put in my life for my comfort, nor me for him, or my kids, or my wife, or any of you in this room. You've heard me say this before. But this is what comes from life lived together and spiritual formation. This is part. I have to increase my vulnerability with Grady because he can see me in a way that others don't see me. Jeff sees me in a way not everybody sees me. So I'm more exposed. And this is important for spiritual formation. Now, we're going to have several after this week continue to expound on this subject. But I want to what my goal is this morning is for me to be like a tour guide and for me to put your eyes on Jesus, to remember who you are and why this is significant. If we can remember who we are and why following Jesus is significant, it goes beyond the here. When we lose somebody in our family, it's a moment of sobriety. It brings you into a moment where you start seeing things, or when you turn 40 for the first time, maybe, you know, or when you reach these moments, that what it actually does for you is it creates a perspective, a moment of sobriety. I have so many different places I want to go right now, but we'll land this here. I believe that this is a city and you are a people of great significance. Grady and I and several of us make this joke, and if you get it, great. It's not a super funny joke. It's just hopefully a moment of sobriety. If I were to introduce you to a 15-year-old Abraham Lincoln, your perspective of him and his perspective of him would be very different, right? You're like, you're Abraham Lincoln. And he's like, yeah. And you're like, no, but you're like Abraham Lincoln, you know? Like Abe Lincoln, Honest Abe. And he's like, yeah. I believe we have many in this city that have that perspective, that they are destined for great and glorious things in the kingdom, and they haven't discovered yet who they are, and they're coming into. And that's such a cool invitation. I'm not saying we're special or unique. I know there are other places that are like this too, so don't hear me wrong. But I'm saying what a joy it is for us to discover and search that out here. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter, and it's the other way around, but God loves to conceal a matter so that kings can uncover it. And we're like, look, it's treasure. And he's like, yep. Isn't that awesome? I hid it so you could find it. Ah, man. Okay. I want to take just a couple minutes before we leave here this morning. I hope you've heard that spiritual formation is important, because that's my number one job for this morning. So I hope I did that well. But what I really hope that you got was that Jesus is calling you to something significant through something that may feel very natural in so many ways. I hope you heard that everything you do is spiritual. Because if you believe that the kingdom is only in the church, we have a problem. That means you can't lay hands on the sick when you're at work. Because the kingdom's at church. You got to get him here to do it. Or you got to get Jeff to pray for him. It's not going to fly. Sorry. The kingdom goes beyond these walls. Your spiritual formation is really important. So I want to encourage you, as we talk about this subject, I feel it's such a great invitation from the Lord with the book of Revelation and the seven churches that we're going through. This is going to be a really special time for the body here for us to discover who we are and for us to continue to move towards and grow in our maturity in the likeness of Jesus. Okay? So, I want you to find, stand up to your feet real quick, if you can. I want you to find, this is so not safe, you guys. I remember when Jeff used to do this when I first started going to church, I hope. You're like, this isn't comfortable. We're standing. What are we doing? So what I want you to do is I want you to find a group of three or four as quickly as possible on your mark, set, go. And then when you do, find my eyes. Find three or four in the room, hang out with them, and then look up here. On your mark, set, go. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of eyeballs. Good job, you passed the test. Okay, I want you to take just a minute. We're going to increase we've increased our vulnerability level. I've asked you to do some, I could have dismissed you and said have a great Sunday, but instead I didn't, and now you're standing in groups of threes or fours, and you're about ready to do something, which you don't know what I'm going to ask you to do. Pull your wallets out. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I want you to just, for real quickly, I'll just share with them. Do you have intentional, intimate discipleship with Jesus? Just take a second. I know the vulnerability level just went to the roof, but I want you to take a second to just have a conversation, because what we're going to do is we're going to pray. This is for the purpose of praying. I don't need you to be long-winded. Do you feel like you're like, dude, that was my 45-minute story. But what you're going to answer is, hey, I need growth in this area. And I feel like it could be like what Josh was saying or whatever. I really feel the Lord pulling me into that. I want more of that. If that's, you know, if that echoes in your heart, great, say that. But I want you to just take a second. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to just go around quickly and say, hey, this is an intentional thing in my life, or I need to grow in it. On your mark, set, go. Okay. Man, if that was a hard question, this is going to be way easier. Way to just jump in with both feet. Like, very little direction, but we're just going to go for it. And you guys look like you're doing fine. So good job. Those of you that are introverted, way to go. Way to go. You know? All right. Okay, next question. Are you intentionally in or seeking relationships with others? And that's both to love and to be loved, because that's actually part of the process. We need to be loved, and we need to love. So I want you to take just a quick second with your group there, and I want you to just say, hey, this is something that I'm intentional with, or maybe I need to be more intentional with this area of my life. Okay, on your mark, set, go. Okay, nice job. Nice job. All right. So we're going to take just one more minute. I want you to put your hands on somebody's shoulder with your crew. And I just want you to, this is your crew now, by the way. If you guys make t-shirts, that's okay. Maybe like a team hat or something. No, I'm just kidding. Put your hands on each other. Bless one another. You can pray over them specifically, great, but I just want you to just release a blessing over them. Just real simple. Do that right now. Okay. Check, check. All right. Nice job. Keep praying. If you're not praying, let me see some eyeballs so I know where we're at in the room. Cool. Cool. This team follows instructions well. Nice. Good job. Cool. Amen. Hey, I see you. Thank you. That's good. All right. For those of you that I've got your eyes because you are done praying, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Just raise your hand if you will commit to ask the Holy Spirit what he wants to emphasize to you about your formation. Because I don't think that's something that we can do here right now, but I can tell you we're experiencing fellowship together. We're beginning to experience, we were talking about going to the gym together. You know, when you go to the gym together, there's something that there's energy that's released with people. And so when you are with your people, when you can share and be vulnerable, things start to happen. Breakthrough starts to happen. So let's pray. Jesus, if you're already praying, you're doing a great job. Jesus, we just thank you. We have given you permission to come and to mess with the fabric of our lives. Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us in a powerful way who Jesus is, not only in us, around us, but through us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you reveal the Son Jesus so well. And Father, we thank you for your Son. May we dance and laugh in your presence. May we be who you've created us to be. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Have a great Sunday. Spend some time with the Lord. Find some people. Go eat lunch. If you go find somebody to eat lunch with, go hang out. Go be together. All right. Love you. Bye.